Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, The Purpose of God's Presence, from the series Exodus, and reveals how God's presence empowers our worship, transforms our hearts, and leads us to His divine purposes. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. And be sure to sign up for Pastor Jeff's weekly email devotion to receive encouragement right in your inbox. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
So he says, from Friday night at dusk until Saturday night at dusk, that's a day set aside to me. And what you're going to do on that day, you're going to worship me. You're going to remember all I've done for you during the week. You're going to give me honor and worship and praise. You're going to pause. And he says this, even during the busy seasons, even when it's plowing and harvest season. And you say, well, thank goodness I'm a New Testament Christian. I don't have to keep the Sabbath. Man, praise the Lord. The principle still applies. Is there a day you set aside a week to give God your best? Even during the busy times, even when your kids are at summer camp, even during the sports seasons, even when you're on holiday, even when it's the summer, even when it's ski season now, I'm gone for 3 months, it's summer, I'm out for 2 months, it's kids' fall basketball season, I'm out for another. No matter what, if you're going to walk in God's ways, you have to do what God wants you to do. You can't experience His presence just automatically. I mean, there's times God touches us uniquely because He's gracious and He does that. But if you're going to experience His ongoing presence in your life, you have to walk in God's ways. You have to preference Him. I think a New Testament equivalent would be coming to church, but not coming to church, not driving to church, not sitting at church, not being skeptical of church, not saying, well, I'm here. I hope it's a good message. I'm here. I hope they sing the songs I like. Well, I'm here. No, coming to contribute, coming to serve, coming to build, coming to be poured into, coming saying, Lord, change me, coming to say, who can I bless today and who can I pour into today? Lord, I'm making this central. I'm making this what my family does because we're going to be all about you as a family. Then he talks about the two other festivals. You shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks, that is the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the Feast of the Ingathering at the turn of the year. So you had the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, then you had the Feast of Weeks, which was called the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Pentecost. It would be at the beginning of the season where you'd bring your first fruits to God. When your crops blossomed, you would bring God your first and your best. And then the Feast of the Ingathering, which was in early autumn, where you would also bring more of your crops. So three times a year, you're going to worship in this way. And notice what he says. Verse 23, three times a year, all your males, we already studied all this, all your males are to appear before the Lord, the God of Israel. So three times a year, guys, during these weeks, you go to Jerusalem and you worship me. You do that. Why? Because you're modeling for your family that the Lord is the most important worship in your life. Guys, today, model it for your family. If you're married, you lead your family to church because they need to see daddy saying, I believe Jesus is Lord. And as a family, that's what we're going to prioritize. If you're a single guy, you're going to model it because you're going to be here saying, I love Jesus and I'm a single guy and I preference the Lord. Gals, if you're looking to get married, look for the guy that's already coming to church. Don't date the guy who never did until they dated you. And then you're like, well, he goes to church now. You don't want that dude. You don't want that brother. You want the brother that's been sitting under anointed preaching for a while that can already tell you, and when you start dating him, he's leading you to church. He's telling you where to go because he knows the ways of the Lord. Now, I know what guys would say. The guys would have said 2,000 years ago what they're going to say right now. Watching all these girls out there. Oh, yeah. It's good. Because guys are going to say, man, I got to work. I can't turn the company over. I mean, I'm not going to make any money during those 3 weeks. I can't take it. I mean, what if somebody breaks in and I got to take care of my family. I got to be around. God knows that. So what does God say? God says this. You appear before the Lord. He says in verse 24, for I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your borders, and no man shall covet your land when you go up three times a year to appear before the Lord. What does God say? Not only will I protect your family, and not only will I protect your crops, I'll expand your borders. What's that mean? If you do what God wants you to do, he will enlarge your influence. If you do things in the way that God wants you to do them, he will expand things for you. Business guy, listen up. Businesswoman, listen up. If you prioritize the worship of the Lord, that is the secret sauce for your business expanding. It's praying and saying, Lord, this is your business, and I'm bringing you the first fruits of my business, and I want you to bless it and do all this, and I'm giving it to you because you own it all, and you give, and you can take away, and it's all yours, and I just want you to be honored. That's when God begins to expand your influence, because then God knows that you know that he's the one that's giving you the blessing, and it's not just you looking for more stuff to hold into your hands. Amen? That's the principle that he's teaching them. He's like, hey, you got to walk in my ways, and this is the way I want you to walk. I want you, three times a year, men, you come and do this. Then he says this, you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor is the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover to be left over until morning. He's reminding them of what it was like when they did the Passover. They finished the meal. They did all this. He's prescribing the ways to worship. It means we need to do worship the way God prescribes for us to do. Then in verse 26, he says this, you should bring the very first of the first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God. What was he telling them? Most of them were an agricultural society. Most of them were shepherds. They were farmers. They were herders. He was saying this, when you prosper, you bring me the first of your prosperity. That's what it looks like. Again, most of us say, thank goodness I'm a new covenant Christian. I'm not responsible for any of that. Well, here's the reality. Here's the reality. You don't have to tithe. I mean, I'm not sinning if I don't tithe? No. Whew. You're just not worshiping. Because for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you can't worship the Lord with the first fruits of your money, you're not worshiping. If the Lord doesn't have your pocketbook, and some of you are saying, well, good thing I don't have a job yet. If you have any income at all, you babysit and make 10 bucks, a dollar should go to the Lord. I mean, get in the habits, because if you're faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. And tithing has nothing to do with God needing your money. Tithing has to do with your heart giving worship to God and walking in his ways. That's what it looks like. So those of you that are angry with me for saying that to you, you're probably angry because you're not worshiping and you just got called out. And for those that love the Lord, there's something in you that says, I don't know if we can trust God with this money or what, but we're going to try because I love the Lord and I want him to get the first fruits of what we have. I mean, that's what it looks like. So he's telling them, I want your heart. And if I have your heart, you're going to walk in my ways. If you walk in my ways, it means everything that you benefit from comes back to me first so that I know that you're recognizing that I'm the one that's done it for you. And then the second part of verse 26, I find most people at Brave don't struggle with. It says, you shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Anybody struggling with that these days? I mean, here was the deal. I mean, predominantly it was a pagan ritual that if you could boil a goat in its mother's milk and your womb wasn't open, this would help open your womb. It was a superstition that would help in the fertility process. You say, well, that's silly. I would never do that. How many superstitions do we have in our culture? I mean, I know people that are trying to sell their house. There's all sorts of superstitions they do. I know people have different trinkets in their home, superstition that they have. I mean, horoscopes, superstition. I mean, don't read horoscopes. I mean, if you're at a Chinese restaurant, I mean, you can read it. It's okay. I mean, we read it and we add the prepositional phrase at the end in the bathroom because it makes it funny. You're going to meet a very interesting person tomorrow in the bathroom. You know what I mean? Prosperity is coming your way in the bathroom. I mean, that's about how good fortunes are, right? I mean, it's okay to read them, but don't focus. Nobody knows the future except God. All your little superstitions and all your little habits, and you have to do everything the same way all the time. That's a superstition that you're saying, if I do this, then God will bless this. And then if you are blessed, you'll think it's because of the superstition and not because of God. If you have any superstitions, just crush them. Get them out of the way. You don't need them. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ walking with you, you don't need to be superstitious. You have the God that says, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans for hope and a good future. That's who I am. You want that? That's the God I want. So I don't need to be superstitious about all these other things. And I'm preaching to you because I know when I played sports, I was superstitious. I wore the same shirt every Friday before a football game. I mean, everything was routine for me. Thinking that that's going to bring the blessing. It doesn't bring the blessing. God brings the blessing. And we need to repent of those things. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 27, write down these words for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So Moses is going to write down all the additional things, but notice what God's going to do with the Ten Commandments. So he was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water. Okay. I don't encourage that as a fast. Okay. That's a supernatural fast. You can go 40 days without food. You cannot go 40 days without water. So unless the Lord speaks directly to you and says, give up water for 40 days, please don't do that. You will die.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, The Purpose of God's Presence, from the series Exodus, revealing how God's presence empowers our worship, transforms our hearts, and leads us to his divine purposes. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, make prayer a priority in 2025 with the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, designed to help you make the discipline of prayer a habit in your life. We'll send you the journal as thanks for your gift to support Brave today. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message and listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
You cannot go 40 days without water. So unless the Lord speaks directly to you and says, give up water for 40 days, please don't do that. You will die. The only two that we read about in the Bible are Moses, because of the special time in Jesus, his 40 days in the wilderness, and he's the Son of God, so he could do anything. And notice this, and he wrote, this is God talking, on the tablets, the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. God had already done this for him before. He's going to do it again. Why? Because when we break his law, he's willing to take us back through his kindness and his grace and remind us, these are my laws. Let me teach you again. Let me be gentle with you. Let me tell you, this sin's not going to go unpunished, but let me show you what I wanted you to do the first time. And since you want my presence now, let me show you what it looks like for you to worship and honor me now. Which is great news for us. Because I know the only group of people I'm talking to this morning, the only one talking to you is a sinner. And so I know we've all broken God's law in some way. And God's gracious enough to forgive our sin so that we can confess it and forsake it. And he can begin to teach us his ways so that we can walk in them. Because God wants us to walk in his ways. That's the whole purpose of his presence. God wants us to walk in his presence. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. So God sends his presence, again, not just so you get all giddy on the inside. God sends his presence so you'll have allegiance to his worship, that you'll have alignment to the ways of God. And then third is this, God sends his presence to empower anointing on the will of God. Anointing on the will of God. If you have allegiance to the worship of God and alignment to the ways of God, you'll have anointing on the will of God. Anointing means that God's presence is going to go with you. It means God's presence is not something you're just going to experience in an assembly. God's presence is going to go with you. Notice what happens in verse 29. It came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. Moses is coming down the mountain. He's done this before. Last time he came down the mountain with the two stones, he sees them running wild and throws the commandments down and breaks them symbolically to show you've just broken everything that God just told us what we need to do. This time he comes down and his face is glowing. It's just beaming. But Moses doesn't know it's beaming. Moses does not know any changes happened to him. Keep that in mind. If you will give allegiance to the worship of God, and if you will align yourself with the ways of God, when God's anointing goes with you, you won't even realize that you're any different. It'll be everybody else around you. It'll be the people around you like, what happened to you? I've told you a story of going back to a high school reunion a number of years ago, and one of my friends coming up to me and like, I know it's you because you look somewhat similar. And you talk somewhat similar, but what in the world happened to you, right? To me, I didn't think about the change until I started thinking about all the things God had brought me out of. Then I realized I'm not the same as I used to be. And Moses doesn't realize his face is glowing. Keep that in mind. Moses is just walking down, holding the two stones like he did the last time, thinking everything's the same. And notice what happens when he sees his brother. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Even his own brother is terrified. Now, when we think about this glowing, we don't know exactly what it was. It doesn't seem like it was a bright light that was being shined in people's eyes, because it doesn't say that they hid their eyes from Moses or did one of these. But what were they? They were scared. His own brother was scared. They weren't scared when he came down the last time when they were running wild and living in sin. This time they're scared. So whatever that light was, it was terrifying. Now here's what we do know. The scripture says that our Lord is a consuming fire. Moses spent 40 days with that consuming fire, and some of the refracted or reflected glory off of God has gotten onto Moses, and Moses is just coming down, and they're terrified of Moses. Now think about that for a minute. If the people of Israel were terrified of just a smidgen of God's reflected glory on Moses' face, how terrifying will it be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in all of his glory? They're terrified. I mean, Moses looked like a human glow stick. I mean, I'm picturing this like, you know, like fire coming out of his head or something like that. I mean, the people were afraid of him. It doesn't just seem, I mean, we say statements like this, oh, you're glowing. You're glowing today. That's not what they were saying. They're like, dude, you're glowing. Right? That's what they were saying. They were terrified. And so they don't want to come anywhere near him. So verse 31, then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers in the congregation returned to him, reluctantly, I should add, and Moses spoke to them. Because Moses is worshiping the Lord, and because Moses is acquainted with the ways of the Lord, and he's walking in the ways of the Lord, now he's going to communicate the things of God. That's his anointing. This is what Moses was called to do. So Moses comes near, and he spoke to them. Afterward, the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. God told Moses, here's my calling in your life. Here's what I want you to do. And Moses does what? He goes and does exactly what God wants him to do. We need to pause here for a second. Don't get religious on me. Most of us think, well, this is Moses and this is just for him. Or this is for Moses and for pastors in the New Testament. No, this is for everybody. When God calls you to do something and you are worshiping him and you are walking in his ways and you go do it, people will see God in and through you. And sometimes it won't be comfort that you're bringing. Sometimes they'll be terrified of who you are because you're actually walking with the living God. That's what's going on here. So what does Moses end up doing? Verse 33, when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, when he went to speak with God, he would take off the veil until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel, what he had been commanded, the sons of Israel would see the face of Moses, the skin of Moses' face shone. So Moses would replace the veil over his face until he went in to speak with him. When Moses would go speak with God, he'd lift the veil. When Moses would come back out and talk to the people, he'd cover the veil. Why? Because people couldn't handle the fullness of the glory of God coming through Moses. So he veiled it. I'm going to tell you what God said, but you can't handle everything that God's saying. And you can't hear everything God's saying. You don't want everything that God's saying. So I'm going to veil myself. Isn't it interesting when Jesus Christ died on the cross, what was torn? The veil in the curtain signifying now you have full access to the glory of God. And Paul uses this analogy, picks up on this analogy in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 when he's talking about how the gospel to his beloved Jewish people, it's veiled to those who are perishing. They can't see because the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. But notice what he says to the Corinthian church, a church that was growing in their maturity. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. Where the Spirit of God's presence shows up, there's freedom to be everything that you are. When you're worshiping the Lord and you're walking in the ways of the Lord and where you've stumbled, you're repenting of those in the Lord, there's freedom in that. There's joy in that. There's no secrets in that. You can be honest. And notice what he says, but we all, that's me and you and every single believer. Why? Because the moment you trust Jesus, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is every believer. He says, because of that, but we all with unveiled face, all of us with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. He's saying, because we have access to the same God that Moses talked to, we're being transformed in the same way. And what does he do today? He works in and through believers to do the very same things. That you have the same access to God that Moses had to God because Jesus is the Christ who came and tabernacled among us, who died on the cross and rose from the dead. You have full access to God and he wants to live his life in and through you. Now, what's that mean? I know my Bible. I know my Bible. Do you know what Jesus says about you? I mean, just hear some of this. This is shocking stuff. The reason, if you don't think it's shocking, it's because you don't believe it. Jesus says in John 14, 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, you say, well, I believe in him. I do too. He says, the works that I do, he will do also. I saw Jesus do a lot of works. The works I do, he will do also. And greater works than these, he will do because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Most Christians do not believe that. I believe that. The reason most Christians do not believe it is because they haven't experienced it. And the reason most Christians haven't experienced it is because they're not giving full allegiance to the worship of God and they're not walking in the ways of God. And that way, when they ask for God to do something on their behalf, God's not responding to them. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask whatever you wish. How do you abide in Jesus? You give him all the worship you can. You get rid of all the other gods in your life. You become acquainted with his ways and walk. And then the very things that Jesus did, you'll do too. Why? Because now he can use your life as a conduit for his grace to his church and to the world. That's what he's saying. And who gets access to that? I mean, if we had 5 passes today that we were giving out of Braves, so you can have, I mean, there'd be a rush to the altar. I got great news. It's open to anybody that wants to worship the Lord and walk in his ways. And what it means is this. Jesus said, you're his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so you'd walk in them. He says he's able to do far more than you ask or think, which means this. I don't care whether you find yourself a plumber or you work at home, or you're a salesman, or you're an attorney, or you're a coach, or you're a janitor. Doesn't matter what you do. If you're a worshiper of the Lord, and if you walk in his ways, the Lord will show up in and through your life to give you favor for what you do and bless other people through what you do. Have you ever seen that in somebody? You see it in an auto mechanic, you see it in a waiter, you see it with an airplane pilot. I mean, you spend about 15 to 30 seconds with them and you watch what they do and you say, this person is a worshiper of the same God I'm a worshiper of. I can tell they're anointed for this service. It doesn't mean quit your job and, quote, go into ministry. It means you're already in ministry. Just worship the Lord, become comfortable with his ways and walk in them. And then God will use you in whatever he's built you for his glory, so that his life comes in and through you, and his presence is felt by people. And to some, you will become the aroma of life, and to others, you will become the aroma of death. And that's the very presence of the Lord that goes before you. So what's the purpose? Why take all this time? Well, number one, it benefits me because I never have more enjoyment in my life than when I'm experiencing the presence of God. But why does God go to great lengths? Because he wants to align your worship with him. He wants to have full allegiance of your worship. He wants to align your ways with his, and he wants his anointing on his will for your life. He's willing to bless anybody. I mean, that's the great news of the Bible. The great news of the New Testament is Jesus Christ came for anybody who would repent of their sin and trust him. So here's my question for you. How's your worship? It's rhetorical, by the way. I'm just asking how your worship is. I mean, you think about your week. It's good that you're here. It's good that you're in Westminster. It's good that you're watching online. It's good that you're hearing this sermon. It's good, but it's only so good as what you put into practice. How's your worship? How familiar are you with the ways of God? How are you growing in those things? How are you allowing God to be the centrality of your focus, your time, your money, your energy, your thought life? Because no matter how far you are along on your journey, there's a little further to go. There's a little more enjoyment to have. There's a little more of the presence of God to be experienced. And God wants you to experience it now. God wants you to experience it today. Jesus said, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm not going anywhere. If anyone's drifted, it's you. It's not God. And he loves you enough to call you back to himself. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, The Purpose of God's Presence, from the series Exodus, revealing how God's presence empowers our worship, transforms our hearts, and leads us to his divine purposes. Before we let you go, we want to remind you to request your copy of the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, designed to help you make prayer a daily habit this year. When you give a gift to support Brave, visit PastorJeff.com to give and request your copy. That's PastorJeff.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thank you again for joining us today.